Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, November 20th, and you're listening to the College Football Daily, a 24/7 sports podcast dedicated to catching you up on and breaking down the day's college football news. My name is Trey Scott, and this is the story I'm interested in this week. So I'm going to guess that 95% of our listening audience knows that current Ohio State Buckeye quarterback Justin Fields spent his freshman season at Georgia. But here's another one. And don't lie here. How many of you knew that Fields was once committed to play college football at Penn State, who, of course, the Buckeyes play this weekend? That's the trip down memory lane I'm tackling today with the help of a few of 24/7 Sports' experts. Fields committed to the Nittany Lions in December of 2016, part of what was then the number one class in the 2018 cycle. And it made sense. The Lions were in the midst of a special season that saw them win the Big Ten and play USC in that thrilling Rose Bowl. Sophomore running back Saquon Barkley had become a household name. First-year starting quarterback Trace McSorley had quickly made fans forget about Christian Hackenberg. Fields' commitment lasted until June. He spent the summertime as the most coveted recruit in the country, committed to Georgia in the fall, signed with Georgia in December. He transferred from Georgia after the 2018 college football season, his freshman season, because he could not usurp Jake Fromm. He hardly considered any destination other than Ohio State. In fact, when he transferred from Georgia, the dots were immediately connected. But you know what? Let's start from the beginning, which is the discovery of Fields as a recruit. If you look at 24/7 Sports' archive of Justin Fields headlines, you'd find a lot of interesting things in there, such as Virginia Tech offers three-star QB Fields. He was a late bloomer. And juxtapose that with the prepubescent notoriety of 2018 classmate Trevor Lawrence, 20 miles down the road in Georgia, and we've got a hell of a story. So here's 24/7 Sports' Rusty Manziel, a Georgia resident who covered Fields as early as anybody. So, Rusty, you're sort of Mr. Georgia in the 24/7 Sports company, and you to watch Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields play quarterback in the same state, in the same class. And Trevor Lawrence is a guy who, I mean, we had him number one in the top 247 or in the player rankings whenever that came out, I think 2015. And he was a guy who wire to wire was number one. Justin Fields was a little bit of a later bloomer. So I guess I would like for you to tell me when you first heard about this kid at Harrison High School who could really sling it.
Obviously, you mentioned Trevor, and the buzz about Trevor was from eighth grade on. So he starts as a ninth grader, 10th grader. So he has 2 years of basically, he won the state championship as a sophomore. He was full exposure at that point. Everybody in the country knew about this tall, long-haired, big-arm kid from Cartersville, Georgia. What everybody didn't know is there was also a specimen about 40 minutes south of Trevor at Harrison High School. On that, you know, Justin played freshman, didn't play varsity. 10th grade year, they kind of inserted him into the lineup and he gets hurt. So I think he played three games that year as a starter. They go 5-5. So the year that he goes 5-5, Trevor goes 15-0 and beats Buford in the Georgia Dome. So you can see at what end of the spectrum they're on. As the summer of 2016 rolls around, I start hearing a little bit about Justin, and to be honest, I had not seen him at that point. I did see him at a camp in July, and the first thing you see is like he's a bigger kid, spins it well, but kind of still didn't kind of, you know, knock my socks off, to just to be honest, the first time. So you fast forward about another month in late August of 2016, he winds up playing Rome, who that year would win the state championship, who that year had seven Division I signees eventually, Adam Anderson, all that crew. And he beat them that night. So, you know, I start talking to people, and the Rome coaches call me. They're like, I don't know if you know this kid, but he was unbelievable. I mean, he was unbelievable. It was a lightning shortened game. They only played like three quarters. So he made several big plays. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that he beat Rome. I'm not sure they beat Rome. I think it was a very close game, but they couldn't stop him. And I knew for them to call me and tell me that. So you fast forward, talk to Barton. You know, some offers start rolling in. We start talking to national guys, and basically, I said, "Okay, I'll go see the kid play." So, on October 21st of 2016, I go to Dalton to see him play. I go on the field. You know, you see him in pads, and then you see him spin the ball a couple of times. You're like, "Well, wait a minute. Oh no!" You know, I'm like, "We're behind here. This kid is. I mean, it's a wow moment. You know, I'll never forget seeing him throw the first couple of balls. I was like, "This kid's got a live arm." Second play of the game, he runs a quarterback keeper for about 85 yards for a touchdown. And I knew right then, hey, everybody's going to know this kid. Everybody. You know, I didn't know at that point what level he was at, because I'll be honest with you, that night he threw two interceptions. He was still a little bit raw, but, man, you could see the athleticism, his arm. And it just kind of, honest to God, it just took off from then. I mean, it was Justin Fields, and then eventually chased Trevor Lawrence down in the rankings.
Yeah, I just checked it out for you. You're right. Justin Fields' junior year, they beat Rome. He threw 213 yards for two touchdowns and rushed 134 times for another one. When he by the time he committed to Penn State, he was a four-star. Of course, you know, he was about to blow up even further that spring.
Sure.
Walk me through that, because now you've got the whispers started coming, I feel like, in March. Yeah. You got a Penn State commit, but everyone else is about to be real interested.
Yeah, you know, and playing for Cam, you know, that 7-on-7 team. There's two teams here in Georgia, Hustle Inc. and Cam. And
he was on Cam Newton 7-on-7 team.
He was on Cam Newton 17. By the way, he had Jaden Hazelwood and George Pickens as his wide receivers. So those were two pretty good juniors that were playing with him. And you know, watching him play, I was like, man, he just got more polished as the year went on. And by the time May rolls around, I sent you a tweet yesterday. We went to the Cam Newton Memorial Day Classic on a Monday at Shiloh High School. So that was in 2017, May. And that day, I called Barton. Never forget calling Barton. I said, Barton, I don't know that he's number one, but I damn sure tell you this is number two player in the country. I mean, this was freaky what we saw today. And, you know, Barton had already been sky high on him. And then, you know, a month later, he comes out and does his deal at the opening. But for me, watching him at the end of May of his junior year, going into his senior year, he was special, and the throwing part of him had been polished up, and he was ready to rock, and he was ready to be, you know, Justin Fields.
When he was at the opening, he was perfect. It was the best opening performance anyone's ever seen, and up in Oregon, he sort of had a Beatles like mania surrounding him. He had just decommitted and everyone wanted to know where he was going. When he first decommitted, where did you think he was going to end up? Because there was a lot of Florida State buzz.
You know, the team that and everybody's going to run it 1,000 different directions with this. The team I thought he was going to go was to Auburn, and not because he played for Cam Newton's team. I just kind of felt that was the fit for him. The more I got to know Justin, the more I realized how big of a Georgia Bulldog fan he was. I mean, he wasn't a fan. He was going to games his whole life. His dad sent me a picture. I believe it was a 2008 or 9, something like that, Citrus Bowl. And you see a little Justin with a Matthew Stafford jersey on in the bleachers. That's how big a fan he was. And I knew at that point that Georgia was definitely in it. Florida was in it. Auburn was in that thing. Florida State was in it for a while. I just knew that the more times Georgia could get him up there, and the more times that I talked with him as it got closer, you know, obviously, you know, we had a commitment video prepared, you know, based from his family. I helped get the office involved, and didn't matter what school, just wherever he went, we were going to be able to do a commitment video We didn't know he was going to have a pep rally with helicopters that day. That's another whole story. But, you know, he was just a big Georgia fan. But I really thought Auburn. The initial day it happened, I kind of thought Auburn.
Good deal, Rusty. I'm pretty sure one day they will do a 30 for 30 on these two quarterbacks growing up, and you will be featured prominently. We're going to take a quick break and then loop in Penn State reporter Sean Fitz of Lions 24/7. I'm going to talk to Sean about how Justin Fields' Penn State commitment went down, how his decommitment went down, and whether he thinks there are any hard feelings.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back, and before I get to Sean, next week for Thanksgiving, we are hoping to air on the podcast some comments from listeners about things they're thankful for. So if there is a college football thing for which you would like to express thanks, call 312-789-5647 and leave us a voicemail. So in December of 2016, Justin Fields commits to Penn State, giving the Nittany Lions what was in the number one class in that 2018 cycle. Remember, Micah Parsons was in that class, would decommit, rejoin a little bit later. So Sean, tell me about Penn State's discovery or evaluation of Justin Fields and then its subsequent pursuit of him.
Yeah, the evaluation was key. They got him in camp. They offered him actually the same day as they offered Quincy Patterson, who ended up at Virginia Tech. He was a three-star at that point. His junior film is really where everything turned around. He was a four-star by the time he committed to Penn State, but Penn State gave themselves a head start over everyone else. So just a tremendously talented kid. Didn't have a ton of film at that point, so I think that's why he kind of crept under the radar heading into his junior season. But Penn State built a good rapport with him. Of course, Joe Moorhead was back, was the offensive coordinator at that point. He was a big Moorhead fan. It was really just a case of Penn State really identified him before anyone else. And then he went out and had a monster junior season, actually committed to Penn State on a visit in November and then ended up announcing in December. So it kind of took, he just got a little bit of momentum before everyone else. I don't know if they knew he would be that good, but they were really, really high on him. And the first couple of weeks into his junior season, it was easy to see why.
So Justin was a three-star when you first started talking to him. So I'm guessing he was a pretty easy guy to get on the phone. And then maybe once he commits, his profile starts to rise, other schools join the fold, probably a little bit tougher to get a hold of him.
You know what? He was offered, and he was really open to talking to people. He kind of had a chip on his shoulder about that at that point. I mean, he would send me his game clips every week. I would forward them to Steve. Steve was a big fan of him as well. And I was
Steve
like,
Wilfong?
Man, we got to bump this kid up. Steve Wilfong. This kid's phenomenal. I mean, he's just everything that you saw on him was, you know, he was making plays with his arms and his legs. And basically everything you see now he was doing as a junior in high school. And, you know, he had that chip on his shoulder. He was a three-star. We bumped him to a four-star. We eventually kept getting data on him and seeing more film and just everything. And just by the time that next spring rolled around, when he was still committed to Penn State, but of course looking around, other schools down there needed quarterbacks. And It was just a meteoric rise, and he just, you know, he was very accessible. He's always been very accessible, especially since, you know, as Penn State, we got in with him early. A lot of guys at 24/7 Sports knew him, and he's always been very approachable. Never really got the sense that, you know, he was above anybody or anything like that. So throughout the process, he was great to work with. Of course, when these other schools start calling you and you get close to maybe backing out of your first commitment, things get a little bit dicey there. But still, that's just part of the game. So he was always approachable. He always wanted more. He always was talking about just eventually being a 4-star. And of course, he went and eclipsed that and went to the next level and eventually was a 5-star.
Tell me when, over the course of that spring, it became clear to you that Penn State was going to be challenged to hold on to Justin.
Well, I mean, you look at the teams that offered him, and it was just one after the other. I mean, after that wonderful junior season, of course, Georgia was around. Florida State was a big one. Florida was one that you were looking at. So, I mean, there were just so many big names in there that you couldn't deny it, really. And Penn State got him up for a visit for the spring game in 2017, I believe. Just didn't have that same vibe that he once had. You knew he was going to, look at things. And Penn State is not a big fan of their guys going out and visiting other places. I think the Fields family knew that. They wanted to look around. They wanted to explore their options. And after that visit for the spring game, things kind of opened up. So it was kind of moving in that direction the entire time. You thought with Joe Moorhead still there, you'd have a shot. You thought, you know, he had a great relationship with James Franklin as well. So you thought Penn State had some things going for it, but being as far away as they were from Georgia, with those schools just kind of lining up for you, making them a priority. And, it was funny because you always, you know, you eventually compared him to Trevor Lawrence, but, you know, Clemson was a school that he was high on personally. It never really came about because of Trevor Lawrence. So there's just so many things working in this way. And by the spring of the next year, you were just kind of like, all right, Penn State might hold on to this kid, but it's probably just not going to happen. There's a lot of logic involved there, and eventually it did not.
This question might confuse some of the listeners because they would look at Jake Fromm as an established Georgia quarterback. But at the time that Justin Fields ended up signing with Georgia, Jake Fromm was still a true freshman who had a sort of shaky grip on the job. Meanwhile, Trace McSorley had established himself as a superstar and was rising into his senior year. Do you think Justin Fields and Justin Fields' family looked at that depth chart at Penn State and realized that their path to playing time was not immediate? And do you think that's maybe why he decommitted?
I think that's fair. I mean, I think Penn State had told him kind of the same thing that a lot of other places had told him, especially with incumbent starters in place. You look at Trace McSorley and what he did as a college player at Penn State, and it's logical to think that, you know, nobody was going to unseat him. And I don't think really Penn State or James Franklin had the reputation where you would expect them to take a 3-year starter and, you know, send him to the bench for just a freshman. So I think that's fair. I don't know that that's the biggest biggest factor in him backing out of his commitment or anything like that. But I do think that they didn't offer him the opportunity to be a full-time guy right away. I think it was pretty obvious why.
Obviously, there is already bad blood between Penn State and Ohio State. Big Ten East rivals have a history, especially the last few years, of playing in close games. Do you anticipate, given Fields' prior commitment to Penn State, that there's a little bit of extra bad blood this week, and maybe Micah Parsons has a message or two for him?
I don't know. I don't know if he's got a message for him. I'm sure he'll have a few messages for him during the game. That's kind of the way that he rolls. I don't know that there's any extra incentive there. It is a storyline that I think will probably be played up a little more than we expect it to be, than it would be a factor throughout the week. But it's just a guy going out playing against another guy. And I think that's really the thing to go back to. Now, you know, will James Franklin meet him before the game and talk to him a little bit? I don't really think that's going to come up all that much, but there were guys in this class and in that whole cycle. We mentioned that spring game visit. Penn State had a bunch of its class there and turned into be a really, really, really good class. Could have, of course, taken the next step with a quarterback like that. They end up getting Will Levis to replace him, who's the backup right now. But I mean, I'm sure there's some hard feelings, but I don't think it's enough to turn this into an inspiring story that Penn State wants to rally against its former quarterback commit and all that kind of stuff. I think that a lot of that stuff is overstated. I'm sure there's a few hard feelings on the Penn State side, but I just don't buy into that whole thing.
Awesome, Sean. Good stuff.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That's going to do it for today's episode of the College Football Daily. If you appreciate what we're doing, we ask that you do one thing this week to help spread the word about the show. I would like for you to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, and I would also like for you to leave us a Thanksgiving voicemail. For Connor Tapp and for our producer, Tawny Levitt, I'm Trey Scott, and we will see you on Thursday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.